Right. Perfect. I can see the recordings have just been started. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. This is the IRTPC call on the 10th of July, 2012. On the call today, we have Simonetta Bataiga, Paul Diaz, Barbara Knight, Kevin Erdman, James Waddell, Hager DeFalo, Mikey O'Connor, Avery Doria, Rob Mountain, Roy Dykes, Rob Goring, and Philip Corwin. From staff, we have Marika Koenig, Barry Cobb, and myself, Matt Peregrine. And we have an apology from Michaela Malin. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Natalie. And there's some significant background noise, so please be certain to mute your line if you're not speaking. Thank you. Good morning. Good day, everyone. Welcome to IRTPC for our first call in several weeks. I hope everyone enjoyed the brief hiatus from this working group. And for those of you who traveled, it was great to see you in Prague. And hope everyone had a good trip there. I see that we have a few folks that are still trying to get in. So we'll hope that Mikey and some others will be joining us here. And, of course, Michele is absent. We wish him a pleasant holiday if he ever gets there. From following his tweets and Facebook statuses, looks like he was having some travel delays. So with that, we'll just kick off with our normal procedure here and ask that does anyone have any comments, additions to our agenda that was circulated yesterday? Aubrey, was that...
No, my hand was actually for the SOI update, so I put it down.
Oh, okay. That's next. So anyone have any updates or for their SOA? Aubrey?
Yeah, I do. After over 10 years as just a consultant and educational, I've taken a half-time job as Vice President Policy and Governance for .gay LLC, and half-time is still as consultancy and educationally as ever, but I figured I should note that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And then should we then be on the alert for an updated SOI to the wiki?
That's already done.
Okay, thanks. So anyone
just
with any questions?
That I did it. Right.
Okay, fantastic. And I don't know if it's appropriate to say, welcome to the dark side of contracted parties.
Well, I'm not there yet. We don't have a contract yet, but I'm aspiring to the dark side, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. Mikey, it looks like you have an update as well.
Yeah, this is Mikey. My update is that is minor, but perhaps significant in some conversations. It turns out four of my generic.com names are exact matches to applied-for strings. And I don't really know what that means in terms of a statement of interest, but it's in there now just in case... it means something. So there you go. It's also updated on the wiki.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey. And I agree. It's not clear that that is a direct conflict, but it, I think in the interest of transparency and full disclosure, we certainly appreciate you making us aware of that. So any other updates or...
Yes. This is Kevin Erdman.
Hi, Kevin. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my update, I haven't updated on the wiki yet, but I'll get around to it. It's a minor one in terms of the statement of interest, but I've just have started a new law firm, Reichel IP LLP, and that's my current affiliation.
Okay, and does that change any of your affiliations relative to... the groups that you're associated with is participating in this PDP?
No, it's sort of the same gig, different law firm.
Okay, thank you, Kevin, and appreciate that update. Any other updates to statement of interest, updates or changes? Okay. Thank you, everyone. What is normally a pro forma agenda item actually turned into an interesting discussion. And anyone who has any questions or further curiosities, I would refer you to the wiki where the statements of interest are kept. and maybe Natalie or Marika can post a link to that to the mailing list or something, just as a reminder of how to get there. So thank you. So the next item on our agenda is to recap our meeting in Prague. And I think meetings plural because there were at least two. There may have been more. There was a review or an update, a status report given to the GNSO Council over the weekend by Marika and myself, and I believe Avery was there and some other members of the working group as well to field questions. I thought that went fairly well, and there were no, at least I don't recall any major issues or questions or concerns on the part of the council. So I think that in that regard, that was more of a formality, and that went really well. I think the really exciting session came on Wednesday when the group reached out to various stakeholder groups and constituencies and other interested segments of the community to participate in a workshop where we discussed the various questions. We discussed our initial report and some of the recommendations, and I thought that was a really fantastic turnout and a healthy exchange of ideas. Some of the thoughts and comments that were expressed were reintroductions of topics that had been covered in this working group, but some of it was, I think, novel and worth considering. And it was always good to have fresh voices on the discussion. So it was a great session. I really thank everyone for spreading the word about that session and getting the attendance up, and for coming in participating in a very lively conversation. If you were in Costa Rica, I think, and also in Prague, you would know that there was. I think it was pretty readily apparent that there's no comparison between the two. The session in Prague was much more substantial. So, so thanks to everyone for that. And that leads us to our. Well, it's actually agenda item number five, but we can discuss our work plan here in a moment, and then look into what we need to do as far as. Incorporating the feedback that we heard in that session in Prague, as well as the public comments that have been received in the public comment forum, which is open, I think, for another 2 weeks, roughly, or at least the reply period is open for another 2 weeks. And we can start to build the feedback and the comments into our initial report and look at them in the context of our recommendations and say, is this something that needs to be revisited? Is this something that we've missed entirely, or how can we review the comments and the feedback and start to take that into account? So that will be our, I think, roughly our mission between Prague and the delivery of our final report in Toronto. But before we dive into our work plan, let's take a look at the queue and go with Mr. Golding. Rob? Rob, you may be on mute, and it's going to go down.
Apologies.
Okay, false alarm. Okay, so with that, then let's take a look at the review, review the work plan. So if you take a look at the document that Marika has in the Adobe room, you can see, I'm going to scroll down here a little bit, that we are on the second page. And it looks like we are into the bid in July. Now, it says July 16th is the close of the public comment period on the initial report. I believe that's been pushed, and I believe that's now July 25th. Marika, can you confirm?
Yeah, this is Marika. This work plan dates back from March, I think, when we still had some other timelines in there. So this indeed hasn't been updated to reflect the time frame for the current public comment forum, which indeed is in 25th of July, and also to note that, of course, the first meeting we're having now is not the 24th of July, but it's today on the 10th.
Okay, thank you. Ivory.
Yeah, in looking at this, and this is often an exercise that we do right about now, so I think there's two things to this work plan that we need to look at. One is the backward scheduling. We need to check the timeline and make sure that we've got the backward scheduling done for Toronto to make sure that it reflects proper dates for when we need to submit, when we need to have final copy due, you know, next to last final draft work, walk through a couple like that. So I think like in the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, basically certainly in September sometime, I'm not quite sure how early, we have to start on that process. I think until we actually see the comments, we can have some idea, but until we see the comments, scheduling down from the 24th of July, if that's our next meeting, no, it's not, we have one more before that, is basically deciding how much time we need on each of the topics that's coming up and how we need to approach it. So I think our first meeting after the publication of the comments and the closing is the sort of discuss the comments and figure out our approach. Then basically we know which ones are shorts, which ones are long. We can group them into the following 3-4 meetings. And then so in terms of the growth scheduling, what I'm seeing is a meeting right after the report has come out where we figure out the rest, 3-4 meetings, you know, maybe more, where we parse the particular topics according to how we figure out to work them, and then certainly by September go into an end game on the final report, which takes at least 3 to 4 weeks of, you know, updating drafts, reviewing, talking, working, seeing the update, et cetera. So that's kind of, you know, my initial chunking of it. I don't know how much detail we can get into yet on the end of July through August, and I also think we have to figure out how much participation we have during July and August. I know for myself I will be somewhat flaky for some of the weeks because I'll be taking one of those working vacations where I'm still writing but I'm vacationing.
Okay, thank you, Aubrey, and I think that you made several good points here. You know, I think for starters, we probably, when we built this schedule, we're anticipating that we would have more than 2 public comments, and more than, I think, I checked yesterday how many replies. So how we approach those in the late July and August timeframe is, I think, going to determine how much time we'll need and how we structure those meetings. I agree that September we should be moving into reviewing the final report. I wonder if we have now 6 meetings between the from September, let's say, until the document deadline for Toronto. I wonder if we'll need all 6 weeks. I think that ICANN efforts are definitely in that vein where, you know, they'll take as much time as you give them. And so I think we need to, be judicious about how much time we allocate for those functions. And it also raises the question of whether or not we have a substantial material or work to be done between now and the close of the comment period, which is in 2 weeks. I think that's a fair question. So, We'll take those into account. I think that right now, as you mentioned, it's very difficult to paint with any fine brush strokes, and we're just going to have to kind of adjust as we go along. But I think that that's a good plan, and there's several important points there. So, Netta, do you mind if I go with Marika first, even though you were ahead of her in the queue? I think maybe she could shed some light. Okay, thanks, Netta. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to share one comment that was made in one of the discussions the GNSO Council had over the weekend about managing workload. And there, one of the comments was that, you know, maybe there would be a way for working groups to, you know, avoid having a lot of reports just coming out prior to ICANN meetings, as there are already many other reports that are being launched by that date. You know, in certain cases, there's a really good reason for that. Like in the Prague meeting, you know, we wanted to publish it to have a discussion in Prague and get feedback from people there. But in this case, as it's merely submitting the report to the GNSO Council for them to consider it and, you know, decide whether they want to adopt the recommendations or not, the worker group might also want to consider whether it would be more timely then to actually submit it for, you know, the meeting just after the Toronto meeting, or, you know, if we would meet at deadline prior to the Toronto meeting, so it doesn't add to the whole pile of other documents in there, and, you know, might run the risk that the council will say, well, we haven't had adequate time to actually review the recommendations. You know, we're happy to discuss it or have you present it, but we're not in a position yet to consider it. So, you know, just to know that 9 October deadline is a bit of an artificial deadline, and you might want to consider whether, you know, in light of the comments received, you know, you want to stick to that or maybe push it a little bit ahead so it comes at a time when it's a bit more quiet for the GNSO Council and not many other things happening at the same time. So that's just something I wanted to note on that. And just on the comments, well, we get to that as well in the next point. But as you can see, what I've tried to do already is to put all the comments received as part of the public forum to date in that public comment review tool, as well as trying to abstract from the discussions that we had in Prague, you know, looking at the transcript and the notes I took, deducting there already some items that were discussed. So, you know, one thing the working group might want to do is already start looking at those, just noting that, of course, there might be other comments coming in as part of the reply period, but it might also be an opportunity for the working group to ask clarifying questions to those that have submitted comments as part of that reply period. That's just what I wanted to share.
Okay, thank you, Marika, and excellent point. I think that, I think if we can finish earlier, we should. One, basically citing your concern relative to the workload, I think that when you said that was the council, let's be fair, it's Stefan, but he's not wrong, that is definitely a phenomenon where everyone's racing for a certain document cutoff deadline, and the result is just the volumes of reports that have to be read on flights, and unfortunately my flight to Toronto is about an hour and a half, so I won't have much time to do that amount of reading. But so I think that, you know, if we can finish earlier, it dramatically increases the likelihood that our report will actually be read and considered by those who need to do that. I have another thought, so I put myself in the queue, but I'll go to Simonetta and Aubrey. Simonetta?
Hi. I'm just wondering, Marika just said something that I wanted to ask, is if have we actually written capture of what was discussed in Prague, because there was more than two comments that came up as part of the actual work group session. So I would actually consider these as equally important as what has been written in a public comment period, because that's also feedback that we received, and maybe the people who were in that workshop and voiced their opinions there think that because they've been there and they said what they think about this whole process there, that kind of replaces them having to also go into the public comment period. So I would think, when I'm thinking back to that work group session, there were definitely more than two comments that have been made. And then also, I think, just looking at our initial draft report, there were still a lot of areas where we basically wrote in there, give us feedback. We haven't come to a final conclusion or consideration yet, so I'm not so sure if we're thinking too simplistic when we're saying, oh, we might not need all this time, because there still is a number of topics that we haven't really come to a consensus on. So I'm just wondering if we're a little short-sighted in thinking that we don't need all this time to really work through the remaining open issues that we still have. And then based on whatever the final recommendations are, there might be further comments coming to us. I'm just thinking back to IRTP Part B, and that's exactly what happened at the very end when we were done. That's when we really got some very vocal and emotional feedback.
Yes, thank you. I'll see if I can remember to address your points. I think that you're absolutely correct. We need to treat the participants in that forum as though on equal ground, I guess, as those who submitted comments to the public forum. Although I did encourage everyone at the meeting to help us make sure that we didn't miss their thoughts by sending a note to the forum. I don't know if that's possible now since we're in the reply period, but we'll do our best, I think, to capture all of that and to treat them all without discrimination, because we want to make it easy, lower the barriers for folks to submit feedback. I agree with you. There's still a lot of open issues. I guess maybe I'm optimistic in one hand and a little cynical on the other. I'm optimistic that I think that we can resolve those open issues and come to some sort of consensus in the 10, 12 weeks that we have, and still, you know, save ourselves a few weeks here or there. I'm also a little cynical that sometimes when we have an open issue that's very, very contentious, having 3 weeks to debate it or having 10 weeks to debate it is really not necessarily going to bring people closer together. So we need to identify when an issue is really just not going anywhere, and note that in our report that we're divided on this issue or something like that. And so I think that, you know, we can probably make that determination as well in the time that we have. But I think, agreed, that it's not just we're not just reviewing comments. We do have some open areas that need to be, some blanks that need to be filled in, and I appreciate that. And we will take all comments into account with that. So Aubrey is next, but do you mind if I go to Marika, Aubrey?
Not at all. I was going to suggest it.
Okay, thanks. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to respond to what Simonetta was saying about the public comments, and just to clarify, indeed, what you see in the public comment review tool, and the two comments I refer to are those that were officially submitted as part of the public comment forum, one from the Registry Stakeholder Group and the other one from Michael Shohat. And I think he was also a participant in the Prague meeting, or at least I recognize a lot of the comments that were in his submission as comments that were also made as part of the workshop. But if you see, I think there are, like, I made 29 entries, and many of those actually come from the Prague meeting. I went through the transcript as well as my own notes and tried to derive from there any points that weren't made as part of the official or the two submissions to the public comment forum, to really make sure as well that we, you know, indeed capture all those that were made during that session as well. And I would just like to encourage everyone, if you feel there's anything missing, because, you know, there might be some points where I thought that, you know, maybe they were clear or already made by others, but you feel that they haven't been captured adequately, you know, feel free to add them to the public comment review tool, so really have an overall view of what was submitted. And you know, I agree with Simonetta. I think those have the same kind of validity as the ones that are officially submitted, because we did use that session as a way of obtaining input. So I think I hope that most of that is actually already in there from, you know, what has been submitted and received to date.
Okay, thank you, Marika. Aubrey, you're next.
Yeah, jumping in. Simonetta and Marika said most of what I wanted to say, so I won't reiterate. So I wonder if we could replace what was in the screen at the moment with what Marika created, so that we can all be looking at that while we're talking about all this. The only other two points I wanted to make were, one, that even on those things where we can't come to consensus, it's almost as challenging to figure out, okay, we have strong support for this statement and we have additional support for that statement. That coming to a proper description of the state of non-consensus can be as difficult as writing the consensus statement. So we have to do one or the other, you know, in terms of this. So I think the time is there. I totally agree that if we can do it early and get the thing out early, it's a good thing to do. I tend to believe that despite what various people say, I know that I won't start reading all the stuff I need for the meeting until the week before the meeting, you know, et cetera. So we can say we're all going to do it early, and some small percentage of us will, but most of us are still going to prep for the meeting right before the meeting. And so I think that, you know, and I think there is a reason to submit to this deadline, is because I think that this time we had sort of a working group session. I do think that having submitted the final report, we will want to consider doing a presentation of the content of that. And so having that in the queue in time for this meeting. So this is sort of an argument against slipping beyond that meeting if we don't. The final thing we're trying to show, and we're really doing quite well at, is the speed with which one can do a PDP. And we've been on track, and I think at this point we should still, you know, work our way towards a final by that date and not sort of push beyond because of the too much stuff to read issue. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Aubrey. And good point, particularly regarding the demonstration of the validity of the PDP and also having more of a presentation than a feedback session in Toronto where we can present our reports and our recommendations to the community. I put myself in the queue because I had a thought here, and I don't know if it's necessarily applicable to this PDP, but in the past few PDPs that I've worked through, the groups have finished their work and buttoned up their final report and sent it to council where it was approved, and then it was sent to the board and it was approved. And then there was this this weird sort of follow-up period, I want to call it implementation questions or things, where it was dropped onto the lap of the policy staff. And they had a number of implementation questions. So how do we do this? What's the suitable time frame to implement this policy? Which contract? What language? We had some vague or conflicting recommendations from the report, or different ways to interpret it, et cetera. And so they would, and this is to staff's credit, I think they would go back and reconvene some or all of the members of the working group to discuss how to actually implement the recommendations as they were adopted by the council and the board. And so my thinking here would be perhaps if we could anticipate that would also be one of the challenges resulting from our report, whatever our recommendations end up being, and we should start to anticipate that will be a need and account for that in our work, so that we can minimize that implementation follow-up work or build that into the report as much as possible. I think the way that's done would be with very specific instructions to staff. So that's just one of my thoughts of what we can also do to still beat this deadline, still overachieve on this schedule, but produce a more complete and comprehensive final product. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. In relation to your comments on implementation, it might be worth pointing out that as part of the revised GNSO policy development process, there is a provision in there that talks about implementation and has a suggestion in there if indeed there are concerns or when working groups or the GNSO Council feel that there might be further discussions needed as part of the implementation, there is the possibility for the GNSO Council, possibly on the recommendation of the working group, to form an implementation review team. And the idea behind that is that the review team consists of preferably members that have been involved in the working group and are very familiar with the recommendations, that can serve as a kind of consultation body with ICANN staff when they work through the implementation of these recommendations. So that's a way for staff to go back to a certain group that's representative of the working group that developed those recommendations to ask certain clarifying questions. And when we get closer and have, for example, a first draft of an implementation plan, that we have a group to share that with before we share it with the broader community to just make sure that we got it right and that we've implemented the proposed implementation follows the intent of the recommendation. So that's something you might want to consider including as part of your report if you feel indeed that will be helpful in order to ensure that the recommendations get implemented as you intended, and also to be able to provide input if there are specific questions on how or when to implement certain things.
Okay, thank you, Marika. Simonetta, and you'll be the last speaker on this before we can move it to the review. Go ahead, Simonetta.
I just have an observation, and I don't even know what to do about this, but when I'm thinking back to IRTP Part B and the reactions to that at the very end, I think they were a result of that people gave input along the way, but then they had Now, when they saw the final product, they didn't really have a chance to say anything to that. And I guess you could turn in endless loops if you always needed to allow for further input with the final recommendations. The question is always, like, how do you judge basically how much different the final version of this is from whatever people have had a chance to last look at and review and comment on? And so I'm just wondering, how can we judge this time around and maybe do a better job judging how much we changed our recommendations and our final product from what we presented in Prague, which resulted in the comments that we are now getting. But maybe once we're done and we have discussed the final open polls that basically no one knows what our recommendation will be about these, how can we then make sure that this is not creating the same kind of reaction? And if so, is this something that we would need to plan for adjusting and reacting to again? I don't know.
That's a good point, Simonetta, and I think it's something that we should always keep in the back of our mind as an area of concern. I think that already I think that this group has done a better job of outreach and building awareness and reaching out to stakeholders that would have had a significant interest in responding to our reports, and I think that there are the differences or the blanks that need to be filled in are material, and we need to allow folks to comment on that. But at a certain point, it is a fuzzy logic problem or a judgment call where you eventually have to say that we have given opportunities. While we can never say that there's someone out there that doesn't have an idea or something that we've missed that we haven't communicated with or hasn't offered their feedback. But I don't know that we can ever say that we're completely done. But we just have to make our best determination that we are done enough. If that made any sense. But I think that we can always continue to build awareness within our different stakeholders and within the community, capital C, that this work is ongoing and that we're approaching certain recommendations that might or might not be material to various folks. Okay, so I'm sorry, was that a new hand, Simonetta, or just a follow-up from...
Oh, sorry. I just forgot to take it down.
Okay. Okay, so thanks, everyone, for your feedback on the work plan. I think that, we want to keep pushing. As Aubrey noted, we certainly don't want to pat ourselves on the back for saying that we were able to finish 3 questions in 1 year. That's certainly maybe faster relatively by the ISAC community, but I think stepping outside of it, those external to this process would still find that somewhat laughable. Although I think that when you consider that this is an effort that is completely driven by volunteers sacrificing time, an hour or a slice of time here or there, I think that it still is something to be noted. And I think, to be fair, we didn't really get this effort started in earnest, I think, until early November. So I think we officially kicked off in October. The real meat and potatoes took place in November. So we still have a little bit of time before we hit our first birthday. And I would say that a PDP that hits its first birthday is probably not something to be a fan of. So, Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah. Funny about differences in perspective. I wrote that down there as a good thing. Not as a thing to feel bad about. I think we're getting at the point where, first of all, we started a PDP, and I think we had a change of PDP process somewhere in the middle, so we worked with 2, then 1. I think what we've got is a situation where we are trying to pare down, trying to understand how things can be done more quickly. We have certain people pushing for faster PDPs, and of course that's a good idea. I think afterwards it'll be a good thing. Another thing the new PDP proposal calls for is sort of a postpartum on a PDP. Okay, you've reproduced your output. Now look back at your process. Look back at this. what can be improved, what was good, what was innovative, and get that sort of understood. But I put this down as a good thing, that, you know, it's down to a year. And, of course, if we want to be specific about it, there's all the months it took to actually start up the PDP and get to October, November. But that's beside the point. I was just saying, let's continue shooting for our target. I think we've got a good thing. And, yeah, I'm sure GNSO can improve it still further, but I think this is a good benchmark. Thanks.
I appreciate that, and I think I didn't want to come off as being too cynical, but it is something that I think sometimes about the internal conversations I have, where I would tell someone, "Yeah, I've been working on this for a year," and they kind of look at me and they roll their eyes and they say, "I can." So, but yeah, we are working at a feverish pace, I think, and I think that the quality of our work is not been affected at all. I think this is a thus far, the output has been solid.
When I say perspective, I'm about to get an RFP out that I've been slogging on for 6.5 years.
Oh.
And that's IETF process. So when those people roll their eyes at you, you know, getting a draft standard out in a couple years is really a good thing.
it's just a good contrast of the different time scales that we're all working in.
Right.
So I think when we in a number of commercial contexts, when we look out more than one quarter, we start to call that long-term or wishful thinking. So,
yeah, well, that's one of the things that's wrong with industry these days.
Okay. All right, so Marika, if you would, can we swap the document that we currently have in the window for the beginnings of the public comment review tool? Here we are. Thank you. And I should mention that while the public comments period has fish, or I'm going to struggle with my terminology here, so the initial comment period is closed. However, the reply period remains open until July 25th. And for those that aren't familiar with this new process, I think which was adopted, earlier this year, and Marika Babb, I'm sure, can correct me. One of the recommendations coming out of the community engagement section of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team would be that the comments comment periods be managed in two phases. One would be for the submission of initial comments and ideas, and then the second period would be open for individuals and organizations to respond to comments that had already been submitted by others. So I think that the goal there, and we can, you know, I can refer you back to the ACRT report if you're passionately interested in these sort of things, but the objective would be to allow commenters to interact with one another, not just to ICANN or to the working group or to staff, as well as eliminating that phenomenon that I think we started to see, which is forum spam or whatever we want to call it, where there's just a number of comments saying the same thing, or sort of Me Too responses and documents, where we can at least organize those by topic. And I don't know if that's actually an overly optimistic objective of having this two-phase process, but we'll see if that is one of the results. So with that said, we can say that the initial response created two comments, and that was from this gentleman, Michael Shohat, maybe not be pronouncing that correctly, and from, I believe, Chuck Gomes, representing the Registry Stakeholder Group. So there are responses that are still open for those two comments, but Marika, perhaps we can at least look at Mr. Shohat's comments here and then see where we are on time when we get through those. Go ahead, Marika.
This is Marika. Just to note that the way I've organized this document is, the first comment is just more a general statement, and then I've tried to group the comments in relation to the different recommendations. So I haven't grouped them by person as such, but more on, which comments related to which of the recommendations and put those together. So although even the first three or four are from Michael Shohat, you see that then they go into some comments that were made during the public workshop, the registered stakeholder group, then there's some others from the public workshop, and then they go into recommendation number two. So just to clarify how the document is organized.
Okay, thank you. It looks like the form stuff is at the end. So could you start us off with the response, general comments, Michael?
So this is Marika again. So the first general comment he basically made is that the process should be kept as light and simple as possible, and registrant confirmation for domain name procedure should only be required if absolutely necessary. And I think the last part partly relates as well to recommendation one, but he has more specific comments to that end in the further comments.
Okay, thank you. And I think that we are definitely looking for him to expand on what the definition of absolutely necessary is, but I think that is, I would even warrant to call that is a unanimous position of the working group, is that whatever process we have, it should be a lightweight process, because we certainly don't want to create friction in what is currently a healthy and functioning commercial marketplace. Okay, so any comments on that, or should we just dive into recommendation number one? That's pretty tame. Okay, so if we could proceed.
This is Marika. So then we go into the specific comments that were made in relation to recommendation number one, which relates to the proposed process for a change of registrants. So the first comment also from Michael Shohat reads, normal registrants, non-domainers, non-technical end users usually don't understand registry policies and verification procedures and often ignore communications from registries and registrars. Ask URIT, NIC.ES, and NIC.AT, to name just a few, which portion of their emails regarding trades are bounced or simply ignored. URIT is currently removing their confirmation requirements for trades for exactly that reason, and will shortly regard change of registrant as a simple update, while ICANN is considering going in the opposite direction for GTLD.
Okay, and I think that we could probably take a cue to discuss this, but this is questioning whether, I guess I'm confused as to whether or not this is an expansion of his original comment, or if this is almost a contradiction. So I think that ask URID, NIC, ES, and NIC AT, to name a few, specifically about their email bounce experiences. I think we asked Country Codes a lot of open-ended questions and received a lot of feedback. Their experiences, positive and negative, as well as some of the operational challenges necessary for having something like this. So what does the group think here as far as this comment number two from Michael? Is he cautioning us to not adopt anything at all, or is he cautioning us to keep it lightweight? I'm looking for what everyone's take is on this comment. So, Anna, go ahead.
What I heard him say in the workshop and the way I understood his comments is basically that from his point of view, any kind of, additional confirmation, as he said in his first comment, or any kind of other thing that you're asking a non-domain or non-technical end user to do to get something like a transfer done, is not an easy process for the user. And, I mean, I'm thinking back to our original experiment of actually getting a domain name transferred and how much we struggled with this, although we kind of know a little bit about this process. So I think what he's saying here is that the ignorance uneducated to this policy end user has a hard time understanding why they should do something with an email that maybe comes from the registry and not the entity that they just had some interaction with. So if I'm thinking about, I'm about to transfer a domain name and maybe I had interaction with GoDaddy and I had interaction with Network Solutions because those are the two entities that are involved in this transaction. So I get some kind of a confirmation email from one of these two entities. That makes sense to me because I just did something in their interface or I know that the domain name is coming from that registrar. But if I would get a random email out of the blue now from this company called VeriSign that I have no idea that they happen to be the registry for .com and it asks me to do something, then chances are that I don't do anything with that email. I just ignore it because I don't think it's relevant or related to what I just did, or I don't even trust it. So I think that's what the intent of his comment here is, and he's saying make it simple and make it such that it makes sense to a user.
Okay, thank you for that. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika, and just to clarify, I'm looking ahead because if you see in the next comment, because there he actually says that they do support the adoption of a policy, you know, for a change of registrar. But you know, as Simonet has said, I think their main point is that you know, it should have as little difficult processes or confusing elements around it. That's how I understood you know the different comments that he submitted as part of his submission.
Okay, thank you, Mikey.
Thanks, James. It's Mikey. This is kind of directed to Simonetta, but I don't think we're proposing that a registry get involved in this, are we? We're proposing, at least right now, notifications by registrars. And in the case of change of control, if we kind of leave the structure the way we've got it right now, it would be from the current registrar of record. So to the extent that a registry is sending an email, I would completely agree that, you know, I don't think we want that to happen. Isn't that right?
I think that is correct, Mikey. And I think, you know, it's possible that he's painting with a broad stroke here, meaning registry or registrar. But I think to Simonetta's point, the folks that should own the relationship with the customer would also own this process. To Michael's point, or to his concern, I would submit that any challenges in customer awareness, understanding, education, or action or operational challenges associated with email would equally be affected by the FOA and auth code exchanges that are currently part of the existing transfer process. So I don't think that his concerns are trivial. I think they exist and they are real. I think that they are potentially already occurring, and I don't know that proposals coming out of this group would necessarily make them better or worse. They would just kind of be more of the same issues. Simonetta, go ahead.
I agree with you, but I think where his comment is coming from is exactly that even the existing process is really confusing for users, and I think we all agree that it is. So I believe he's writing this because he has experience with users being confused with the process, not really understanding it, and he wants us to make sure that we don't make it even more complicated than what we currently have, and that his desire would be that it's easier than what we currently have. But maybe we should just post this question back to him. Is that what you meant? That's how we understood your comment. Is that, are we reading you right?
Okay. Well, maybe we can capture that as part of the recommended action that we want to make sure that we're capturing that correctly, and then that will help us formulate our working group response. Okay. It looks like we have So we have two more folks. We'll go to Avery and then Mikey, and then we'll probably saw it off there for today. So, Avery, go ahead.
I have what is actually a process question for you. When you say get back, is this something, for especially something that's in the official comments, although I think it would even be okay in the non-official comments that people were making, is this something where you're recommending we actually send something to the response with the question, that we approach him directly and ask the question? Is there a process recommendation from you on how this should be done?
Marika, there you go.
I could take no answer as no suggestion.
or maybe we lost it.
This is Marika. I mean, there's no official process. I mean, I think the idea behind the reply period is people can respond to comments. But, you know, to be honest, I don't think there's an official notification that would go to Michael saying, hey, someone posted something in response to your comments. So as I think he did post his details, and I think people, you know, he was part as well of the workshop. If there's a specific clarifying question, the easiest way might be to directly reach out to him and say, well, what do you exactly mean with your comment? But again, I think, as said, I think he also participated in the workshop, so maybe it's worth as well looking back at the transcript to see if there's anything in there that, you know, further clarifies his point.
Okay. The reason, this is Avery jumping in again with a follow-up, is the reason for that, and perhaps it's putting it in the reply, because also very often people hear one person say something or see one person say something, and they don't bother to say anything because, oh, yeah, yeah, it's been said. So if we really do want a clarification and the reply period is still on and we've gone through the search as you recommend, perhaps it's worth sending in something as a reply from the group, see how process develops, and copy him on it specifically to deal with the fact that there's no automated mechanism. But because then other people might see it and say, yeah, I thought about that too, and here's what I thought. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery. Simonetta?
Well, I kind of had the same thought, that maybe it would be nice that we actually respond as a work group to his comments so it's publicly visible, and then prompt him and reach out to him personally and say to him, hey, can you just place one more comment in there as well to say, yes, we captured this right, or no, I meant X, Y, and Z, and this is really what I wanted to say, because then everyone else who might be reading this also has a chance to weigh in, and also it shows very transparently how we dealt with his comment.
Okay, thank you. I think that's a good idea as well. I just my only concern would be the timing. If we wanted to do that with this comment and with the registry comment, I think, you know, we'd have to hustle to get it in there by that cutoff date. Go ahead, Marika, and then Mikey, and then we'll probably cut it off there for today.
Yeah, that's Marika. This is Marika. I think that's exactly the point I wanted to make. And indeed, if the working group is going down the road of, you know, posting a reply, it might make sense to encourage everyone to look at Michael's submission as well as the one of the registry stakeholder group, so that at the next meeting, the working group can focus on any elements that are unclear or people think they want to go back to. Because indeed, if you know, we want to put it in, working group wants to put in something as part of the reply, but also allow then those people that we have comments for to come back to us again as part of the public comment forum, and, you know, it would make sense to leave them ample time, so it would have to be done basically shortly following next week's meeting, basically.
Okay, thank you, Marika. And I had another hand up, I think, from Mikey, but it's gone now, so... okay. Well, folks, thank you. I think I'm encouraged that we were able to get so much done today, as well as dive into the beginning of the review here. So let's call that a wrap for today. I appreciate everyone who was able to participate. Let's make sure that we're keeping an eye on the mailing list and using that in the interval between calls. And I would encourage everyone to take a look at the comments that were submitted. There were only two, so I think it would be a good bit of homework before our next session. If everyone had some familiarity with those comments, that would be great. Thank you, everyone, and we will meet again next Tuesday, same time. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, Vonnie Kramer, and I'll stop the recording.
Thank you.